And it's the classic telling of that first Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, the first 14 verses. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, a Christmas like no other. A Christmas like no other. In my bleaker moments, I can relate to the person who said in one online commentary, 2020 is the year that put the Herod back into Christmas. But I tend to go with the Archbishop of Canterbury, who, while acknowledging the sadness and loss that many people are feeling at this time, the pain of separation from loved ones and others, he went on to say this yesterday, Christmas, but it's not cancelled, because at the heart of Christmas is Jesus coming into the world, God coming into the world. This is a moment of God saying, "I am with you in the mess, and I have overcome the darkness. There is hope." I think that's where I go, rather than the Herod Appreciation Society. Well, this is a different Christmas, and I was thinking of some of the special things that mark out this Christmas among the Christmases that I have shared before. First one is the star. There you go. Much better in real. Keep sermons live. And because this year, of course, there was a great conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter. And though it was a bit cloudy, on one night I did get a chance just to catch it, just around sunset. Lo, that Saturn and Jupiter are very close together, almost on top of each other. And the last such observable conjunction was back in 1226. So I'm not holding my breath for the next one. But of course, this draws the thoughts of many back to the star that led the Magi, these mysterious and unknown figures from the East, that we know not how many or even who they were to some degree. And thinking back to the way that God can use these strange things in his providence, perhaps, to guide those who seek. So yeah, Christmas like none other, the star. But of course, a year ago, who would have thought that one of the most sought after Christmas gifts is the designer face mask? I mean, if you give me one of those last year, I thought, you got to be mad. But there you go, such a popular gift. And we wear them, not because we want to be trendy, but because we want to care for others. Lots of things that Christians are doing this year, like not singing, and keeping social distance and wearing masks, not because we're afraid of the virus, but because we're seeking to love one another and the wider community. And giving up things for the good of others is a deeply Christian thing to do. So there you go. Don't know whether you got one of those in your stocking, but there it goes. Of course, the top gift of the year, top and favourite gift of this year, has to be if you are fortunate enough to get the high-speed internet. Ooh, a blank page. Excuse me. There we go. I mean, that's what everybody wants. I mean, we've discovered that the power of technology, when it works, is fantastic. About a month ago, we got high-speed fibre optic cable to our house, and it's life-changing. Well, not really, but it's really nice to have. So there you go. The gift that keeps on giving. High-speed internet is not just for Christmas. It's for every day. And of course, a year ago, none of us would have thought that was the key to a successful Christmas because of this mysterious name that emerged. I mean, Zoom. I'd never heard of that until earlier in the year. I mean, last Christmas, if you said, yeah, next year we'll be on Zoom, I only thought back to there was a nice lolly back in my childhood called a Zoom. Those were old enough in the UK to remember that. But, okay, hands up. Who bought shares? No. Just imagine if you'd been ahead of the game. But we give thanks for the technology. We give thanks for it. I both love it and hate it. I love it because it helps us keep in touch with people in ways that we couldn't do so. The wife of a dear friend of mine in Hong Kong died this autumn. So it was wonderful to be able to be part of, in a sense, of the funeral service and see everybody and hear what's said. But of course, I hate it as well because you can't hug them like I would have had I been there. But we give thanks for the good things and we recognise its limitations. I wonder how many people this year have uttered the words, "You're on mute. We can't hear you." You know, it's one of those classic little rituals that's been spoofed on the internet in many amusing ways. But there it is. It happens. And sometimes people feel like God's on mute. There was a wonderful book on prayer a year or two ago titled God on Mute. Well, God is not on mute, and nor is he deaf to our prayers. If the Christmas story says nothing else, it is that God is with us and listening to us. Sometimes we're too busy and we act as though he's on mute or is indifferent or doesn't hear our prayers, but that's not the case. Christmas assures us that God is with us and listens to us. If you think God is on mute, well, I mean, one good way to investigate that is we've got an online alpha course coming up in January 21st. You can register online. It's a great way just to discover how God might be speaking to you and is not on mute. Because I'm doing the best to have a positive Christmas. I'm not going down the bar humbug, meditating on the story of Herod Root. I'm staying with the fact that at its heart, Christmas is about seeing the invisible God. That Christmas is not cancelled, though some of the celebrations are limited, because love is not cancelled. And the heart of Christmas, as the Archbishop says, is Jesus coming into the world. God coming into the world, saying, I am with you in the mess, and I have overcome the darkness, and there is hope. Let me pray for us a moment. Now, Father, we acknowledge that this Christmas is a Christmas like no other, and for many, it is a difficult and painful time. But we thank you that this is you coming to us, the one who hears us and knows us and loves us. So we pray that we'll have that assurance that you're with us in the mess and that there is hope, not because of wishful thinking, because we believe that because Jesus comes to us, he brings light and life and hope. And we pray it in his name. Amen. We're going to declare our faith, so I invite you to stand. And let us declare our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,